DPO 212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 6 of the Talking Sound Podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host. Our guest today, Alicia Maples. So excited to have her on. I actually met her at Texas PodCon. I had the opportunity to go speak at a podcast conference in San Antonio, and Alicia was there as an invited speaker as well. We got a couple of days to hang out, and I was like, you know, I sit in sessions so many times, but it's so rare that I am actually moved by a session. So moved to take just like pages of notes. And it was funny for me because most of what she was talking about was sales. Alicia specializes in sales and business marketing. Welcome to the show, Alicia, with Brilliant SMB and the Brilliant Sales Secrets Facebook group. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Chris. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm so, what a massive compliment. Thank you. Things are great. And I'm thrilled to be on the show with you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Like I said, I was so jazzed after your session at Texas PodCon. And I've been so excited to be like, oh my God, I know that she's getting ready to launch some stuff and getting ready to step out into new places. And I cannot wait to have her on the show to talk about it. And when we spoke yesterday in our pre-interview, I was so excited to have you on. Things with my business have kind of gone in a different route. But the reason I really wanted to have you on today was valuation, learning to understand our value in our industry. And that's something that I think universally across all industries can tend to happen. You can tend to kind of get stuck in a little rut. You can maybe even sometimes tend to be a little scared or timid in business and just be undervaluing your services. And as a freelance AV technician myself, and knowing obviously a ton of freelance AV technicians, it's something that I see so frequently, whether it's the live in-house guy, whether it's the people just starting out in the corporate field. We tend to want to devalue our services in order to land a gig. And when I heard you speak, Alicia, about this, it just really rang a truth bell inside of my soul of like, oh my God, thank God, here is somebody out there that is teaching people to try to get it, to try to understand that them and their talent and their years of work are worth something. So
absolutely.
If you can, take the next couple of minutes here, and I'm going to turn everything over right to you. Explain to everybody what Alicia is all about, what Brilliant SMB is all about, and why it is that you got into this field to begin with.
Oh, gosh. Well, part of the reason that I got into the consulting work that I do is for the precise reason that you mentioned, except I came out of corporate America. And so I was in corporate America, Chris, and I was tired of being told, hey, this is as far as you can go. You did a great job this last year. Here's your 25% per hour increase. Yeah. And being really limited in what I was able to achieve, not being valued for what I accomplished and for what I brought to the table for the corporations that I worked with. And I basically just got this attitude of, I can do something better. I can go out on my own and I can do better. I can make the impact that I want to make. I can make the money that I want to make. And so I'm going to go out and do it. But ironically, when I left the corporate world to go do my own thing, I got stuck in a place that it sounds like you're saying your tribe gets stuck, which is, what do I charge? How do I charge? Oh my gosh, I started facing all of these valuation issues and self-esteem issues about, can I really do this? And then I started facing cash flow issues. And what happened to me, and this is part of the story that I shared when I spoke at Texas PodCon, is I started taking on anybody and everybody as a client because I had to make money. I needed cash. And what ended up happening was this really beautiful thing. I was in San Antonio at the time, and I just thought to myself, you know, if I can get featured in the San Antonio Business Journal, then that's really going to open up some doors for me. Well, I met somebody who facilitated that, introduced me to the right people, and it happened. And I had this interview. It was fantastic. I felt really good, like I nailed all the questions. Couldn't wait for it to come out. And the interviewer at the very end said to me, Alicia, this has been great. I just need one last thing from you. I said, sure. And at this point, I had been doing my coaching for about 12 months. And he said, I need the names of three people. So I'm telling on myself here, Chris, okay?
Sure.
He said, I need the names of three people with whom you've made a tremendous impact in their business so that I can call them and get a testimonial from them and I can include their perspective in this feature. I said, sure, no problem, and hung up the phone and practically burst into tears because I didn't have those three people.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I had been doing work for anybody and anybody that would say yes to me, I was doing work for, and I wasn't charging enough. And coaching is, it's a tough gig, not so much for me, but for the person who signs up for it, because you've got to do a lot of introspection. Part of what I do is hold a mirror up to you so that you can see some things that maybe you're not wanting to see. And so I had some people as clients who just, they weren't up for it. They didn't want to stick with it. So here I am, and I've got this massive opportunity for great exposure to my target audience, and I didn't have anybody that I could refer them to. Now, thankfully, I had three friends who were entrepreneurs that I had been coaching for free. They weren't paid clients. They were free clients. And so I was able to call them up and say, hey, would you be willing to share with this journalist over at the Express News what we've done together? And they said yes. So the article came out, and it went great. But Chris, this was the transformative moment for me in my business, is I said to myself, I am never going to be in a position again where I have an opportunity to be published or interviewed and not have at least 15 people who can step up to the plate and say, this is the tremendous impact that working with Alicia has had on my business and on my life. It just, the switch flipped in that moment. And so I started to become very choosy about who I was going to work with. I was only going to work with people who were winners, who were going to do whatever it takes to be successful in the coaching process. I came up with this list of criteria, also known as a target market persona, which I do help people create, but my target market persona and a qualification process. So I could weed out the folks that weren't going to be good fits. And then I started raising my rates, and I started raising them more and raising them more and raising them more, and found that synergy of the right target market, the right client with the right price. And I haven't looked back since. And 9 times out of 10, when you talk to one of the entrepreneurs that I've worked with, they will tell you immediately that the change that happens at the beginning is they start charging more. But it's a barrier for a lot of people, and it comes from the fact that they don't value enough of the results that they are providing to their clients. And so when you and I talked at Texas PodCon and you were saying, oh my gosh, this is what I'm facing in my industry, I thought, yeah, this is perfect. We just need to do this. So thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's such an important barrier to get past. I remember distinctly the day, this is my professional confessional moment. And that's coined now, folks. It's official. We do have a segment that's coming up this season called Professional Confessional, where we will be doing things just like this with engineers, business people, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And my professional confessional moment here is, when I was a live sound guy for bands and venues, of course you get a couple free drinks in the evening, things like that. Yesterday it struck me whenever you asked me if my name was Christopher or Chris, and my response is typically after people have met me, things like that, and they ask me, it's Chris. Christopher looks great on a business card. The day I got business cards for myself as an audio engineer, was the day that I quit drinking live in bars. That was the day that I was like, I can't be giving somebody a business card like with headphones around my neck while I'm drinking a beer. Like that just doesn't seem right to me. So that was the day that my mentality became, hey, how about instead of, $75 and a $50 bar tab, how about you pay me $125 because I'm not going to drink tonight.
There you go. Good job.
How about we start flipping the way that this industry thinks about things, and instead of you paying me in liquor, you give me some cash to live on.
There you go.
I know it's a radical concept.
And some other things.
But
I think most people would say, Chris, that intellectually they get it. Like, I got to pay my bills, right? But when it comes to telling somebody, here is what it costs to have me on your team, it becomes this looming mountainous type of, oh my gosh, what do I say? And can I really charge that much?
Yeah.
And so, good for you. And so do you want to talk a little bit about what some of those barriers are?
Yeah, exactly. Because I always tell people, hey, this is where we're going to start. Budgetary concerns, things like that happen, but this is the ground level that we're going to start at here, and we can negotiate things, we can work on stuff, but this is what we need to start negotiating with. making those rules up for yourself, trying to find your own boundaries, and trying to get past that initial fear. Let's break into that a little bit, Alicia.
Okay, that sounds good. So I would say there are two most common fears when it comes to charging the value of what you are bringing to the table. One is fear of rejection. And I have to laugh when I say that because I've been there too. But we have to be realistic. If we're entrepreneurs, rejection is part of life. It's going to happen. And so if you spend all this time kind of hiding behind low dollars so that you can get yeses, you're doing a disservice to yourself. You're also doing a disservice to your industry because you're devaluing your industry. So what I say to people, it's not sexy. It's not, this great scientific formula. It's really just get over it. You're going to be told no. It's going to happen. Even if you charge a minuscule amount, you're going to be told no. So embrace rejection. Start getting used to it. Like I did this mind flip too, where I started saying to myself, I'm going to go for no's. And I'm at a stage now, and it's not that I have this hefty bank account, but when I made this change in my business, I definitely did not have a hefty bank account. I was in the negative, in fact, when I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm being very picky. I go for no, because when I hear a no, it tells me one of two things, and it should tell everybody else one of two things. Number one, either this person is not the right fit for you, or this person is going to be a pain.
Yeah.
So you've got to, if the person says no, then either they are not the right person for you, or you should, and if that's the case, you should be glad that, I'm sorry, Chris, I have to stop just one second.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. I just got really emotional thinking about the first time that I said no to somebody and how empowering that felt. So
that's
I know
great.
That you can edit this. That you can edit
no.
this part out.
Oh no, no. There's no editing yeah. that out. That's the most human and beautiful thing in the world. Because I was
oh,
getting
my
a
gosh.
Little bit clipped myself when I remembered the first time that I told somebody no has become my favorite word over the last year.
Yeah.
And to see
yeah.
the confusion in their face over that lunch table and beer of like, what do you mean? Like telling people no has become your favorite thing. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. Like, and it's weird and it's an odd thing to say, but yeah, once you learn to be like, you know, that's not the gig I want to be involved in.
Right.
You know,
it is.
Like,
and
it's
honestly,
very freeing.
You.
It's very freeing.
My word for the year for 2020 is actually no. And
yeah.
I've been telling people, for entrepreneurs, this needs to be at the front line of your
yeah.
vocabulary is
Absolutely.
The word no. Because some clients are just not worth it, even when they will pay you
yeah.
what you want. I mean, everybody, I just would like your audience to take a moment to pause and reflect on this statement. Some clients are not worth it.
Yeah.
And I'm saying reflect and pause because we all have that. We've had that experience where a client hasn't been worth it. And so go for no. Get to a point where either the person says no and they're not the right person for you, or they're saying no because they don't value what you bring to the table. They don't value the results enough to pay you what you're worth. It's okay. So instead of being afraid of rejection, go for the no. So that's one. The other is fear of how I will be perceived. I hear this a lot, Chris. Fear of how I will be perceived if I charge that much. And what I say to people when they bring that fear to the table is, let's call that what it is, all right? It's a fear, but it's a fear that's stemming from a belief system. And as you and I have talked about, what we think and believe, it manifests in our behavior, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if I'm afraid of what somebody is going to think about my price, the belief system that drives that is I'm not worth it. And I'm just going to call the BS squad on that right now because it's not true. If you are adding value to someone else's endeavors, then you need to be paid what you're worth.
That's right.
And so if you have this idea in your mind that, well, I just don't think that I'm worth that much, then you're not serving yourself. And really what you're doing is you are giving the control of your business model to a prospect. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
People, I mean, really, please listen to what I'm saying. Why would you give control over your business model and your pricing to somebody who's not even a client yet? They're not paying your bills. They're not paying your rent. They're not paying your electricity. Let's look at your business bills. Are they paying for your gas to get to wherever you're going? Are they paying for your business insurance? Have they paid for your equipment? No, that has been you. But by not charging enough or by being too afraid to charge what you're worth, you are releasing the reins of your business model to a prospect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop. Cut it out.
Yep.
Don't do that. Just stop.
And to put it into rock and roll aspect for so many of you engineers out there, my old bassist used to use the phrase, yes, we play for free, but you have to pay for all the rehearsal. you have to pay for all the time that we spent preparing for this 2 hours, which is way more than 2 hours.
That's right. You're right. Yeah.
And the way I've actually told people who are moving to new markets, like how to calculate their valuation in a new market, is Find out what the base rate of pay is. Like, if for example, in our industry, Alicia, it would be like a box pusher. Somebody who receives a box coming off a truck, pushes it to location, mm-hmm. then wash, rinse, repeat. You know, what do they get paid? If it's $15 an hour, that's where you start, and then you add $1 for every year that you've been doing it. So if you've been in the industry for 10 years doing this, at that mm-hmm. point, your rate becomes $25 an hour.
There you go.
And you do not work for less than $25 an hour in that market. Mm-hmm. And that's the easiest way I've found to evaluate it. Because, yeah, if you were at a decent job, full-time, working for somebody else, if you weren't getting a dollar a year raise, you know, would you really want to be working with that employer?
Exactly.
If you weren't getting a dollar a year cost of living raise for mm-hmm. the work that you did and the time that you put in, and you need to consider yourself the same way.
I completely agree with you. And this is why, again, the word no is so important, because to me, when I hear somebody say no to my price, I understand what their threshold is. And that gives me a tactical and negotiating advantage.
Yep.
Because I've gotten to their highest point. And at that point, I can make a decision. It's not in their hands. I can make a decision about,
exactly.
All right, what do I want to do? Do I want to flex on this? Is this a client that I'm willing to do a flex for? Are there other things that I'm going to be able to get out of this that are going to help me in what I'm trying to accomplish and in how I'm going to position myself? Or is this just somebody who doesn't want to pay?
Yeah.
So that no is a good thing. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's over. It means now you understand where they are, and that puts you in a great place for leverage in negotiation.
Exactly.
So
it puts you in a huge high ground standpoint to know what their limit is right off the bat. And it puts you at a high ground standpoint to say, this is my limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And absolutely. we can move from there, you know. And I'm really much more prone to doing a negotiation of things like that, like you're saying, on the second project. After we've worked together, after we know what each other's flow is, things like that. You know, it may be the fact that, like you're saying, you're kind of a hard-headed client, and maybe you don't really want to listen to things. Is that really something that I want to work with again? If it's something that I had a great experience with and we just flowed and work got done quick, yeah, I may just, you know, give you a little discount on the rate to keep things moving. But that's a negotiation that comes later. And one of with the whole concept of no here, I remember, in your presentation, you were giving 4 points to remember, when selling. And oh man, that was just one of the most beautiful things that I had heard in so long, because it was one of those moments where I literally just put my pen down and just closed my eyes and took a big sigh of relief, because it was like, oh my God, this is what I've been doing, and I've been so scared that, like, I'm a crazy person for thinking this way. Is there any way you can share that with our audience real quick?
Yeah, I have to go back and I have to travel back in time, Chris, and remember what the 4 points are. But I can share based on what you and I have talked about. And you'll have to tell me if I'm hitting them all. The 4 points that I most commonly make. So one is, so this is going to get practical, right? So it's easy for you and I to sit here and say, okay, just say no and value yourself. But what do you say when it really comes down to the sell, when it comes down to closing the deal? And so the first thing is, you've got to have the right mindset. That's where it starts. If you go into the conversation with the prospect without the right mindset, without understanding the value that you're bringing. And by the way, the value is not, and I'm going to try to talk a little bit of your industry speak, and I may mess it up. But
that's okay.
It's not just setting up the mics. It's not just positioning them correctly. It's not just the post-production. Those are things you do. That's not the value that you bring.
Yeah.
The value that you bring is something completely different. It's results. So you've got to get super clear in your own head first about the results that you are bringing to this client. The other thing from a mindset standpoint that you have to get clear on is what you're going to accept and what you're not going to accept. Who is worth working with and who is not.
Yeah.
The third thing is to have this ability mentally to say, no, I'm not going to work with you. I'm not going to work with you, or you are not worth my time. Because here's the deal on that one also is, for everything that you say yes to, you're saying no to something else.
That's right.
And for your audience, people say, oh man, you know, the most important thing that I have in my life right now is money. I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Uh-uh.
You're just wrong.
Yeah.
It's not money, it's time. And you can always make more money. There are 100 different side hustles that you can do to make more money. But once you have spent your time, you can't manufacture more of it. It's gone. So getting them into the mindset of, if I say yes to you, Mr. Client, I'm saying no to something else in my life. And so how important are you compared to that other thing that I'm giving up for the money that you're saying you're willing to pay me?
Yep.
So these are all the mindset things. So if you got to get your mindset right first, okay, then when it comes down to the conversation about whether you're going to do the work or not, one of the things, if people are struggling with knowing what to charge, it rarely works for you to go to a prospect and say, so, hey man, what's the max you're going to pay me? Nobody's going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say
no.
That because they understand they're giving up their leverage at that point.
Yep.
So one of the tips that I give, Chris, is when you're going into a project conversation to ask the question, what's your budget? They're immediately going to say, well, we're not sure yet. What are you going to charge? My answer to that is, okay, I understand that you don't know, even though they know. They're just not telling
yeah.
you. But my response is, hey, I understand that you're not ready to, you don't have the budget fully developed yet, but I need to know the best way that I'm going to be able to serve you in this project. And so I need to know a range. Can you give me a range of what you're looking for my part of this project? Usually they'll say yes, and they'll give me a range. And then that helps me. I understand at that point what I'm working with. Well, if they still say, no, I really don't have a range, I'll come back with, okay, well, I mean, are we talking about $50 an hour? Are we talking about $150 an hour? Some of the projects that I do for clients, I'll say, let's say that I'm going into an organization and I'm doing a full day sales training workshop. I'll ask them, are you looking at $500 for the day, or is your budget $5,000? What is it? And usually when I suggest something, then they'll come back and they'll give me a range. So at this point, you've got a range. You understand what the parameters are that you need to work with. I usually shoot at the top of the range when I come back with a proposal of what it is. And in the proposal, so here's some other really practical tips for your audience. So in the proposal, you list out all the different things that you're going to do for two different budgets. So let's say you're going to choose something at the midpoint of the range that they've given to you. And here are the things you're going to do at the midpoint. And from a strategic standpoint, you make that proposal just a little bit ugly, you know, not something that somebody would really want to say yes to. But if they had to, they would. Then the next proposal, which is closer to the top of the range, that's the Mac Daddy proposal right there. That's just like you're giving them all kinds of results. When they come back to you and say, well, you know, we really loved what we saw up here at the top of the range, this proposal, the Mac Daddy proposal, we loved everything we saw and that's what we want, but we can't afford it. That's outside what we're willing to pay.
Yeah.
Here are the magic words. Here are the magic words that you say to that client. Okay. Because remember, you've given them a list of all these results that you're going to give to them, right? So here are the magic words you say when they tell you, this is what we want, but we can't afford it. You say, okay, tell me which of the things on this list you want me to cross off for you.
Okay.
And what happens is, in their minds, they're saying,
But we need all of them.
Exactly.
But we need all the options.
Please don't cross anything off that list.
Yeah.
And so psychologically, they're getting closer to what you want to get paid. And at that point, if you're feeling the synergy with this prospect and this is a project that you want, then what you can do is I don't advocate for discounts. What I advocate for are bonuses.
Yeah.
So I say to the person and give this advice. Okay, I understand that this is everything that you want and that you don't have a whole lot of flex on this. I tell you what, I'm going to throw in a couple of extra things.
Yep.
And at that point, you have sweetened the deal. Instead of, sometimes discounts can actually have the reverse effect of devaluing. So those are some practical tips around how to negotiate pricing on a project.
And what I really loved about that technique whenever I, because it, you know, that's, it's hard whenever you're, I just got a quote together for somebody yesterday, for a labor job. And it was one of those, like, as I was giving it out, I had the moment of hesitation. I had key hesitation and it was like, no, just put your rate. Just put your rate, put the rate down that you charge and we can work from there. But what I loved was your concept of like the two or three lists. I have always been a package person. Whenever I do web design, things like that, I'll give people a package price, you know, you get this for this much, this for this much, same thing. But what's great is that works in such a reverse psychology way as well, where when they do start marking stuff off the list, you can really kind of use that as a gauge even further as to whether or not you want to work with these people in a long-term basis, as to what they're striking off their list first, you know, with you and your years of experience, things like that, in the industry, it's easy for you to tell, like, well, this shouldn't be what we skimp on.
Yes.
You know, and that's a conversation that you can decide, I guess, with your gut at that moment, if those are the kind of people that respond to that kind of conversation.
Absolutely.
What you've chosen is what we really shouldn't be skimping on. You know?
Yes. And I love hearing what you're saying, because part of the value that you and your audience bring to any project, I don't care if it's a band, what you're bringing is your expertise. It's not just, as you said, moving around of boxes. It's the expertise that you have. It's the advisory skill set that you have to say, no, man, that's not where you should skimp. This is not the place that you should cut. So you are demonstrating your value up front, even through the negotiation process. And the other thing that I love about what you just said, Chris, is you're also using it as a qualification mechanism for your clients.
That's right.
Because if in that process, they're not willing to listen to you, they don't want to hear what you have to say, they're not going to listen to what you have to say the remainder of the project. So you're going to be butting heads. And again, say it with me, some clients just aren't worth it.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that that I loved about your presentation was just shut up. Just shut up.
Yeah.
Put it out there and then just shut up. Like, literally be quiet. Don't say anything. And trust me, folks, it's very counterintuitive. But when she said that, I was like, my God, that's what I've been telling people for so long, is just be quiet. Actively listen at that point. Your client is going to tell you everything. And
thank you for queuing that up, because that's one of the...
Your own worst enemy. Like, literally, it's the same thing in a court of law. Just shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Just
you got it. Burp,
shut up. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
Like it, and it all goes back literally. So it's such an odd analogy, folks, but it all goes right back to dating. so much of these techniques and everything else go right back to the concept of, oh yeah, you know, well, there's that pretty girl at the bar. There's that great looking guy. Like, we'll go talk to him. Oh yeah. I can't just go up and talk to him. Why not? Just go talk to them. They're right there. Go ahead.
and ask questions and be quiet. So let me give your audience a little bit of context for that, because that's the next step in the sales process. So here's one of my big giveaways and gifts to your audiences. The one thing, so I teach sales. The one thing that I use in every single sales conversation that I have, every time, I never skip it, is the following. After I've said hello, if we're on the phone, shaking hands, if we're doing coffee or whatever, the next words out of my mouth are this: hey, Chris, I know you are super busy. Why did you make time to meet with me today?
Yes.
Now, let me say, I get a lot of pushback on that, especially from, I'm doing air quotation marks, experienced salespeople. They'll say to me, Lisa, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. The person put it on their calendar. They know why we're meeting. That's not the point of asking that question.
You had 28,000 things to do that day. Why did you break off 20 minutes to come meet with me?
Exactly. The reason that you're asking that question is because this is the process of getting your prospect to close themselves why they need you.
Yeah.
So you've got two sales scenarios, right? You've got the one where you're walking in and you're trying to convince this prospect that they need to use you. Or you have scenario B, which is the prospect is sitting there telling you all the reasons why they want to part with their money and hire you. Which one would you rather have? You'd rather have scenario B. And so this is the process. This is the first step in getting the prospect to close themselves on you. So on using you. So I start off every sales conversation with that question. Why did you make time to meet with me today? And I'll get a variety of answers. So sometimes I'll have somebody say to me, because my boss told me to. That is a super valuable answer, because immediately I know this person is not the decision maker. I don't need to spend a lot of time talking to this person, because what they're going to do is they're going to go back to the decision maker and regurgitate the things that I just said. And you know what? Nobody can represent me as well as I can represent me. So I love that answer, because it tells me, hey, Alicia, you need to cut this short, find out who the decision maker is and move on. Or sometimes I'll have somebody say, well, we've been using so-and-so, and I just wanted to explore what you do and what you're all about. Fabulous question or fabulous answer. That tells me, So they're using one of my competitors and they're not happy. Because exactly. If they were happy, they wouldn't be sitting here talking to me.
Yeah, exactly. They wouldn't be reaching out to me in the first place.
Exactly. So that's an opportunity for you to come in and start asking some follow-up questions like, oh, really? Okay. So what is it that you're looking for that you're not currently receiving? And this is where, Chris, where you just said, shut up, right? You ask the question, and this is what I teach. Ask the question and then shut your pie hole. Be quiet. Don't say anything. Learn to be comfortable with silence.
Yeah.
So then they're going to start telling you, because you may think that you know why they want to meet with you. You may have this idea in your head, but if you start the conversation off with, why did you decide to make time to meet with me today? And you be quiet and you listen, they're going to tell you everything that you need to know to understand what you need to say when it's your turn to talk.
You know, and the thing that I loved about that, Alicia, one of the concepts that I talk about in my Dudes and Beer podcast all the time, it is the idea of us having the conversation on the way to the table. We're literally having this conversation in the car on the way to that lunch meeting. We are walking into that meeting with every brick in the wall laid.
Yeah.
Why are we doing that? When you ask this question, it's the palate cleanser before the dessert. You know, like it literally is taking an eraser to the whiteboard of conversation that you just had on the way there and just wiping the board clean. And going, despite any preconceived notion or master plan I came in with, this person is about to give me the answer right now.
Yes. Yep. I see what you're saying. Yes. And it is. It's so people get really hung up on scripts like, oh, my gosh, I have to have the perfect script or I have to have all of the answers. Or, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so judged right now. And they get themselves all mentally tied up in knots, or they're tied to, let's say, marketing collateral. Like, here's my beautiful marketing collateral. And at the end of the day or the start of the meeting, none of that may be important. You may not pull out a single piece of marketing collateral because your marketing collateral may have nothing to do with your prospect's priorities. So you're right. If you don't take the time to do some diagnosis, Stephen Covey, love his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm. One of the things that he says is diagnose before you prescribe. Well, we go in with a prescription pad already complete.
Yeah.
And we're not doing any diagnosing. A script is useless. It could be useless. Let me go back. It could be useless because the script that you've prepared may have nothing to do with your prospect's priorities. So in this method of asking questions and listening for the answers really should be a massive stress reliever for anybody who's walking into a sales conversation.
Exactly.
Because the pressure is not on you to perform. The pressure, if you even want to call it that, is to come up with some good questions to ask and then shut up and listen.
Yep.
Then when it's your turn to talk, and I call this method selling without saying a word. It's the training program that I give in the workshop that I give, selling without saying a word. Ask the question, be quiet, listen to what they're saying, clarify what their answers are, and then when you talk, you know exactly what to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really is using the tools of psychology and sociology to the utmost. This is truly playing into the empathy response. By asking that question, you're showing empathy toward their situation, whether they're in a bad situation with a previous client or a service provider, whether they are looking for a professional's comfort in the methods that they're already using, what have you. you're setting up for the fact that you're the one who cares right now. They took the time to care enough to come to the meeting. You've taken time to care from the get-go.
That's right.
Is the mentality that you set up. And this is really the best way to go through any job interview as well. Use these exact same methods. Whenever you walk in, shake their hand, make eye contact, and sit down, and, you know, turn the table, exact same thing. Like, so why are you guys looking for a video editor right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I add to that?
Sure.
So I was just asked this question the other day. And so the question that I advise candidates who are applying for jobs to ask every time they get into an interview is, it's very similar. It's the same idea. And the question is, I know that you all received hundreds of resumes and applications. Why did you choose to bring me in for an interview?
Yeah.
Super powerful.
Yeah. You've once again stepped yourself up to a different level of conversation with them. And turn the conversation in a different way. And it really is like so many things in life, Alicia. It's just in how you view it. It really is. It's a change of mentality and a pivot of thought. Use these techniques, and these techniques transfer over to so many things, as we've been talking about. Life principles, the way that you take initial contact with anybody, despite social situation, it rings true to so many things, and it really is the fact of sell as a human, not off a script.
Amen to that. Yeah. Scripts are not, they're not very helpful. I mean, you've got to know yourself. You've got to know what you can do. And you've got to have that confidence in what you do. But a script can hurt you. A script keeps you from listening to what your prospect is saying. And that keeps you from knowing what to say in response to them. So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of selling objection overcomer training, as an example, is super popular in my industry. I don't do it. I don't have an objection overcomer class because they're unnecessary. If you use the process that I teach, if you use this methodology, you're not going to have this big thing at the end where, oh my gosh, I got to get ready and prepare for all their objections. No, objections can be relabeled as concerns. You know, they're going to have concerns, but that's going to come out through this methodology. It just comes out naturally as part of the conversation. It's not a big deal. It's not something you have to prepare for. It's not something that you have to get all worked up about. It's a conversation. And that's what people are looking for. So, I would just say a couple of things. One is you've got to shift your mindset. So, number one, recognize not every client is worth it. You know, number two, from a mindset standpoint, is recognize that if you say yes to somebody for less money than what your results are worth, what is it that you're saying no to? Because you're not getting that time back.
Yeah.
So that should put it into a different perspective for you. And the third, the thing about rejection, again, get over it. It's going to happen. And make that shift to where no is a good thing, because that puts you in a position of leverage and negotiation. And then after that, in terms of practical techniques, talk to your prospect about their range. What is their budget range? And start off every conversation with your prospect by asking the question, why did you decide to make time to meet with me today? And then be quiet. Just be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And ask more questions. Do more diagnosing. And then be quiet. So that's the methodology I teach. Did I don't even know, Chris, did I hit the four things that,
yeah,
that I talked about?
Yeah, no, every one of them.
Okay.
Every one of them. Sure. And that's just it. Good. Because I know that these things, they become a rote habit. There is a formula, you know? Yeah. And it's the same thing that I told bands whenever I worked with them. There is a formula, guys. And if you follow the formula, then it's only a matter of time and whether or not you have the patience to stick out the time. That's it. Once you start following the formula, it will manifest. It will work itself. And it's just a matter of time at that point. And you really do have to be brave enough and patient enough to take on that time, and be willing to do that. It's not easy. As Chester Cheetah used to say, it's not easy being cheesy.
I like what you said. You brought up the word brave, and honestly, this method, starting this methodology, if you haven't done it before, it really does take courage because it's different. Yeah. And there's this quote that I love and I don't know who said it. I think it's anonymous. Everything you want is on the other side of fear.
Yes.
So really, if what you're doing, I'm speaking to your audience, if what you're doing right now isn't working, if it's not bringing you what you want, you've got to step out in courage. You've got to step into that fear and you've got to try something else. You've got to try something new, something different. And if your community that adds so much value would unify and have this mentality of, I am going to start charging for the value of the results that I bring, it's going to do so much, not just for each individual, but for your industry as a whole, Chris. And I want that for you guys.
Yeah.
You need it.
Well, and it really is the fact of, it does everybody a disservice. It does a whole industry a disservice. At some point, you're setting now a client expectation, you see, when you're going out and doing that on the regs at that price, it's great. And I'm not trying to take it back to like the 1920s scab, scab union issues, but it really is the point of fact of when you're out in a professional industry, when you're out in anything, and you don't stand up for what you're worth and what your time is worth, you're doing everybody a disservice. You're doing the guy coming in behind you a disservice, because now you're setting a client expectation of the fact that they can get this for this rate.
Can I share a little bit of a personal story around that?
Of course you can.
So my husband owns a windshield repair and replacement company, and we are hands down the most expensive windshield repair and replacement company in our geographic area. There is nobody that charges as much as we do.
No, proudly and said, everybody.
Say that again, Chris?
Proudly said.
Yeah, you're right. There's a reason.
Yeah.
Because we're freaking worth it. People get things from us that they're not going to get from anybody else. And so on a daily basis, this is part of how you get over being rejected, is because you get rejected and you just move on.
Yeah, exactly.
But on a daily basis, we'll have people who say, that's too high. And my answer is, you know what, if you're on a budget, and I really mean this sincerely, this isn't a sales ploy, this is really what I believe. If somebody calls me up and they want to know what the cheapest price is that they can get, this is my answer to them in my husband's business is, if you're on a budget, and you're looking for the lowest price you can find, we are not the right shop for you. We use the best tools. We use the best resin. You know, I kind of go through a little list of what makes my husband so great at what he does. And I say, we are different than other shops around our area. So if you want, if your priority is the lowest price, don't pick us. But if your priority is quality, service, warranty, and a couple of people who will care about you like your family, then don't go anyplace else. But that's why we charge what we charge.
That's right.
And it is. It is said with a lot of pride. And so when I first started my consulting company, I hired a coach because even every coach needs a coach. And this man said something to me that I will never forget. And I just want to put a pin in this for your audience to listen to. Super powerful here. The only function that price serves is to set the expectation of value.
Yep.
So let me just say it again. The only function that price serves is to set the expectation of value. And my question to my clients and to your audience is, what expectation of value are your prices setting right now?
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. Precisely. Mm-hmm. And it, excuse me. On the flip side of that coin, as someone who provides labor, things like that, the rates that I pay are my expectation of work.
Oh yeah, good point.
You know, like when I'm hiring somebody and I'm paying you that, this is what I expect from you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I make my expectations pretty clear with the people that work for me. When they don't meet them, I'll normally, you know, talk with them about it pretty professionally, but I've got a pretty hard and fast three strikes rule. If we don't get that three times, we got to part ways. It's just that simple. Because quite obviously we business wise don't see eye to eye, and there's nothing personal about that. We can hang out, have a beer, what have you, but, business wise, we just can't work together.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just hard, fast realities that you really do have to kind of get used to whenever you're stepping foot into the freelance field.
Right.
And to know that there are people like you out there with brilliant SMB, and just so you know, folks, if you're a freelancer like me out there doing stuff, go join the Brilliant Sales Secrets Facebook group. Go check out some of the stuff that Alicia is doing. Myself, it's one of those, I like checking out her stuff as simply a motivational speech for me. It's one of those that really gets my wheels turning and gets me thinking about different ways that I can approach the situations that I'm professionally dealing with. That's a lot of why we're starting the whole professional confessional segment is, wow, you know, how do professionals in the industry deal with these things when they come up? You know, like, how do you deal with the stubborn client? You know?
Yeah.
'Cause we all deal with it. But there's a way to deal with it. There's dealing
That's
with
right.
it. And then there's like dealing with it, you know? And
there's
working
dealing
it
with it, and then there's overcoming it.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
So there's being a victim of whatever's happening, and then there's taking control over it and owning it. And I appreciate that plug because I'm going to tell you, Chris, and if I can tell your audience too.
Please.
So the Facebook group, Brilliant Sales Secrets, it's free. You join it, and I'm giving out, I'm not collecting email addresses. You don't have to give anything up like that in order to be part of it. It's just a place really where, and I said this to you yesterday, Chris, I am so passionate about helping set entrepreneurs free from their fear of selling. And that's what's happening in that group. There are live trainings on there. There are some motivational stuff. There's Q&A. There's all kinds of stuff happening in that group. And that's all part of helping you, your audience, strengthen your sales skills so that you're able to make the money that you need to be making. And what that will do for you, build your confidence, help take care of your bills, help you save, help you make a difference in your life and also in this world. Yeah. And so I'm super passionate about helping people figure out how to do that. And so there's just a ton of free, good information in that group. A lot of interaction. We're building the community. People from all over the country are participating in that. So I'd invite your audience to come and join.
Exactly.
It's on Facebook. It's called Brilliant Sales Secrets. And they're going to hear from me throughout the week, every week, and also get to network and meet some other really cool people who are doing different things in different places.
Yeah, and it really is. That's the biggest part, I think, that I love about you, Alicia, is the fact that you're out there connecting people, and not just selling your service, but really selling the fact that entrepreneurship is so much more than just owning a business. It is networking. It is getting out there, meeting people. It is connecting other people who are like unrelated in your industry, you know, because, hey, I know this guy and this guy knows that guy. And, you know, we should get them together because they could really help each other out. And what becomes of that is somebody remembering that. And when they meet somebody in your industry, they go, you know who you need to meet. And it's hilarious to me, cause I just started a network newsletter, not only for my podcast network, but also to post up on the network webpage, kind of strike the podcast network stuff. And the last three pages of it will just be a monthly, like, podcasting newsletter, where it's tips and tricks and things like that. And I was like, why are we using Facebook and things like that for the reasons that we're using it? We need to be using this to, like, literally network, you know, go on, start liking people's things, start posting them, start sharing them, start commenting on them, you know, use it for actual networking, people. And you would be amazed what comes of it. Like, my LinkedIn game over the last 3-4 years has become so entirely strong because of doing that exact same thing and meeting other people in industries and getting people to shake hands digitally, that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's absolutely important. It's so important. So to have people out like you out there building those communities of people to be able to meet each other, encouraging people to follow that passion, to follow that brave step of being self-employed, of doing what they love, and being successful at it, and not being afraid to take the next step forward once you've gone wading in the pond, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
or even taking the next step forward, even if you're afraid.
Yeah.
Just, you do it. You step into that fear, step into it, and do it. Everything you want's on the other side of it. And what's so cool is that in this group, you're going to get the support. You're going to hear from other people who are saying, yeah, I got it. I've been there. I've done that. And you're going to hear the same from me. I mean, for Pete's sake, I almost broke down during our interview this morning. So you're right. And it's a real give to get mentality. It's not a spammy kind of sell this, buy this, do this. No, it's give to get. Let's all give, and then we're going to get something from each other.
Well, and never forget the fact, folks, you could be selling sewer pipes. Doesn't matter. When it comes down to it, you are selling you. You're selling you. People buy from you. They don't buy from a distributor, things like that. They buy from you. When you're sitting in the room as a technician, it's you and the client. You have to sell yourself. You have to be the one that is actively there for them. And that's what's remembered. That's both of my parents were in sales, and That's what I always remember more than anything, especially on the every other weekend trips where my dad would come pick me up from school, things like that. And there would literally be, I would be in the back seat with like a tire sample and, you know, sample books, things like that. And we would go around and make a few rounds to the shops that he visited. And just hearing him talk like a human being, like you and I are talking right now. Just talking with his client and hanging out and laughing and telling jokes and things like that. He wasn't selling. He was literally just spending time with his client. And when his client needed something, they just called him with an order. You know?
He's building relationships.
That's all it is. And when you start to look at it like that, who doesn't want to just hang out with some people? Mm-hmm. You know? And that gets rid of a lot of the fear of it right there. And, you know, I'm glad that I could help get rid of a lot of your fear of doing podcasts and shows and things like that, Alicia.
Yeah. Because
it can be daunting. It can be odd, you know. But, man, when I started doing it for the reasons I started doing it, to share this knowledge with an audience, to try and help people understand different facets of our industries. Mm-hmm. This is only one of them, and learning to value yourself, learning to understand that you and your services and your skills and your years of training are worth something. Don't just give it away. You are worth something as an engineer. You are worth something as a technician, folks. And that's what myself and the amazing Miss Alicia Maples with Brilliant SMB are here to tell us today. So thank you so much for taking the time today, Alicia. One last time, tell everybody where they can go to keep track of you, where they can go to join the Brilliant Sales Secrets Group, and all that good stuff. Can contact you if they're looking for a personal coach or mentor in this area.
Yeah. So Facebook would be the place, and search for the group Brilliant Sales Secrets. That's how you can find me. You can ask questions. I will answer them, and you're going to get all kinds of great interaction from me and also from the rest of the community. And I would love to connect. And thank Chris, I am so glad. I want to give a shout out to Jennifer Maladete for doing this PodCon.
Absolutely.
Because that's how we got to meet.
Yep.
And we had so much fun meeting and talking. And thank you for this opportunity to be on your show.
Anytime.
And to talk to your audience and bring them some value so that they can be more successful. That's what it's all about. I want to help them be more successful.
Yep.
So this has been great fun.
Well, absolutely. And you're welcome back anytime. Feel free to give a shout anytime that you have something like that, that you want to share, talk about. Like I said, just that, those professional confessional moments of how to deal with things,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's so important to share this knowledge, even of our woes in industries, people, with other people in our industry. It's so good to know that we are not alone in these issues. We are not alone in these fears. And to have people like you out there who are mentoring young business people, entrepreneurs, it's so fantastic. Like I said, to hear you speak for the hour that I heard you speak at the conference, to spend the 2 days with you, and then just the last couple days of conversation and recording this have been fantastic. I love watching you online. Your stuff is so uplifting and fantastic. Please do keep it up, Alicia.
I plan to. This train is not stopping, so get on board because we're going exciting places.
Well, fantastic. Please do hold the line for a moment while we close things out. While you are online joining the Brilliant Sales Secrets Facebook group with Alicia Maples and checking out all of her great consultation services, make sure to stop on by the Talking Sound Show. That is where you can find all the episodes. That is where you can find the industry news section with tons of articles from major distributors of great equipment like Rupert Neve and Sony and more. You can also find, we're redoing our interactive map right now. There was a little bit of an HTML issue in it, but we're going to be bringing back the live database of companies around the country that hire freelance AV technicians, our way of paying it forward to the industry. Once again, everybody, I am Chris Jordan, your host. Thank you for tuning in, as always, over the last five seasons and continuing into this sixth season. Make sure to take care of yourselves, take care of your hearing, and until next time, keep reaching for 11. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. This is Talking Sound.